Castwave's newest source of gaming news, discussion, and reviews. I'm Zach Patterson, and this is the future of... sorry, Colin.
No! I just had the flag!
It's the severed dongle. Greetings, gamers. Welcome back to another episode of Severed Dongle. I'm Zach Patterson.
I'm Andrew Poff.
And tonight is a completely reviewed-based episode because this was originally partially supposed to be a review show, and this is episode 14, and we've done two reviews so far. So, you know, I thought it might be a good opportunity to get caught up,
if you will.
So, why? Like, it's my fault. You're co-host now. This fault rests with you also. You're new to this. So, actually, because he's new, I'm putting it all on you. What? Damn it, Poff. What the hell, man? You're jumping the ship here. I'm not liking your productivity.
I'll work on it.
Yeah, it's better.
No, not really.
But all right, before we begin, there was an announcement. The Xbox One crew has denied all the press stuff after E3. They're not doing any Q&As.
Really?
Yeah. Instead, they brought out this list just describing some of the features that we had been like told about, but very vaguely.
Right.
The one that stuck out the most was they finally answered the internet question for internet connectivity, and it was not what we wanted. You can only be offline on the Xbox One for 24 hours before you can't play anything. So that's Deadbox One. Yeah.
What the fuck?
What?
Yeah, 24 hours.
Boo! Boo, I say.
What is that shit?
So, you made a good point before we recorded. That means, what about, like, soldiers playing Xbox?
Yeah, soldiers in Iraq.
People in the boonies.
Right?
Great job, Microsoft. Way to be American. Now even our freaking boys in green can't fucking play Xbox for more than 24 hours. That's shocking to me. 24 hours and you have to establish an internet connection again.
Well, let's be honest here. They're playing Call of Duty, the real life version.
Oh, well, 4D.
Wow. What?
There's no last stand in this.
I'm just saying, it's a nice point.
I'm just saying, though, that's so bad.
Call of Duty Medical Leave Edition.
How are you not going to have 20, like, how is it 24 hours? That's just appalling to me.
I don't know. I mean, you were mentioning internet outages. If
the internet goes out.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're talking to me. I thought I wasn't in this episode.
Technically, he's not.
Sorry.
we got a studio audience today.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I'm just shocked by that.
I was just
completely let down by that.
Yeah.
Very, very disappointing. But
especially because they're just like, oh, fuck you, poor people.
It's like, yeah, well, God, we don't even know how much it's going to cost yet. I'm still calling 600. That's going to be my estimate.
I'm saying $799.
I'm calling $600 on the Xbox One.
Yeah, I'm saying it will retail for $999 US. $999 US. $999 US. Wrong. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into. We've got at least six reviews coming tonight, so we got a pretty good stack. So I'll let you go first, since this whole situation's your fault.
So
stack of reviews.
So what do you want to kick off with?
How about Remember Me? That's brand new.
Okay. Remember Me. It's a game that takes place in Neo Paris. Yep.
That's
in the future.
Thing?
Yes.
They lived long enough without surrendering.
Well, apparently there was a war or a revolution, and I think somebody surrendered there.
Okay.
That makes more sense. But it's a game that's essentially about there's this new piece of technology called the Sensen, which lets people digitize their memories. So that they can have like perfect recall and experience anything that they've experienced in their life again, very vividly.
Is it kind of like Assassin's Creed-ish?
No, not really. It's more like kind of like Total Recall.
Okay, that makes more sense.
The old version or the new version?
Wait, just the concept.
Not relevant.
The concept.
Oh, it's relevant.
But you can choose to relive memories or whatever. I mean, not like relive memories, but like they're like. You can go inside your own head,
like
essentially,
reviewing
like
them?
Like that movie Dreamcatcher, where the guy was able to go inside his own head.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, like kind of like that.
Okay.
But because they're digitized, you can also like trade them. They've become like a commodity that people like would. You could sell memories for cash, or you can buy memories if you want to have like somebody else's experience and just get a bunch of. So it's actually become kind of like a drug in some like parts of the game where people are just desperate to relive happy memories and forget about all the bad stuff. So it kind of creates, like, you know, the whole dystopian future where there's, like, a higher upper class and a lower class in the slums, and everything's all messed up and the government's in control, that kind of thing.
Of course.
So essentially the story itself is pretty much like Total Recall and Dollhouse, kind of.
Oh, okay.
Where, that makes like, sense. Memories can be extracted from people. Like, when you're sent to prison, your memories are taken from you and given back to you at the end of your sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea behind this one is that, just like in Total Recall, there's this resistance force that's striking against the government.
Yeah.
And
I assume you take part in the resistance.
Right. And okay. then you get freed from jail because you're supposed to be, like, their number one agent, very much like Carl Hauser.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to regain your memories back while striking back against the government.
Nice.
And the visual style of the game is incredible. It's pretty much Deus Ex meets Fifth Element.
It's yeah, kinda, oh, it's obviously right up your alley then.
Yeah, it's really pretty game. Gameplay-wise, though, it's got a very simplistic combat. It's very much like Arkham Asylum, where you kind of have a group of enemies and you can like alternate between them and just kind of like button mash and do that kind of thing. It's fairly well executed. It does seem a little bit messy because it's a little rhythm-based. It's not mm-hmm. like a button masher, so you kind of have to press your combos in sequence and whatnot. But the cool thing is that there's a combo lab where essentially you can get mods that your combos will refill your health, cool down your special abilities.
Really?
So as you progressively pull off these chains, you get different abilities that occur throughout the game and you can enhance your fighting and whatnot. But the game itself is like really pretty. Where it does fall short though, it's a series of very pretty corridors. My problem is that there's not a whole lot of like interaction with the world.
Mm.
You see this very beautiful, vibrant world and all these people and, you know, these great environments, but you can't really interact with them. It's essentially just very pretty corridors that you follow around to the next combat arena.
Ah, okay. I gotcha.
And it's got an incredibly good story. It seems like they focus just on story on this one, where...
So it lacks some basic mechanics?
I mean, it's very basic mechanics, and like if you're just looking for like a gameplay experience, it falls a little short on that. Because it's essentially just, you know, mashing combos to fight enemies. Then you move on to the next combat. But there is one element in the game that I think is really cool. It's when you're remixing memories. You mind jack into somebody, and you can actually fast forward, and replay a memory to make them think that something else happened. Like
manipulate them into your...
Right.
Ah.
Like a bounty hunter who's coming after you. You jack into her memories, and you convince her that instead of taking her husband in for a medical treatment... You convince her that the doctor has killed him, and she's on a quest for revenge against the doctor.
So with you.
And she switches sides.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay.
So, yeah.
And I... This question is not only for the listeners, but myself as well. I tried to play this yesterday, and when I got my Xbox, I couldn't figure out how to purchase it. Is it chapter-based, like you buy it to download, or do you have to buy a disc? Because I tried to find it on Xbox and failed miserably.
It might not be on the digital marketplace just yet, at least as far as a full game. I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's on the PSN.
Is it?
Yeah, day one digital.
Huh. I'm not sure about Xbox. I bought the physical copy, so I didn't get a digital version of it.
What's that run you? Is it full price?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to look into that, because I really wanted to play it. The only reason I just noticed that when you were playing it that it said chapters, and I was like, oh, I can go get it now, and it wasn't
there. No. The levels are chapter-based.
Got it. That's where I went wrong. Okay. But out of five...
I would give it a 4 out of 5.
That works.
Great story. Gameplay is simple, yet sometimes can be a little all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, a very enjoyable game.
Cool. All right. I'll let this one out of the gate now just because I've had literally 6 or 7 people asking me when I was going to talk about it on the show. BioShock Infinite.
All right.
I finally did get a hold of it. I finally played at least the first quarter. But because I didn't have time, I do know how it ends, so we can just... I won't... Obviously, no spoilers, but... I was actually very impressed with the changes. I played the first one. The first one was enjoyable, but it was kind of the same thing you were talking about. It seemed like more style and less mechanical.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't hate it, but at the same time, like, the story was very intriguing in the first game, but, like, after a while, the gameplay got so repetitive that I got kind of sick of it. 2 is not mentioned. 2 is pretty horrendous. 3 changed everything. 3 was a different setting, a different time period. And I really... The one thing that really got my attention in this game was the improved combat style.
Okay.
I found the combat very enjoyable in Infinite. The action was very... It was very, like, action movie-esque. Like, you really, like... Once something goes down, you're in it.
Right.
And I kind of have to take a bullet on this one. I made fun of the whole your hook hand, you can leech onto things and move around the city that way thing. It's actually really fucking cool. I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, overall, in my initial experience, I thought it was very well organized. It was complex yet simple. Like, I was very happy with the story and development. I was very happy with the mechanics and the pace. The only thing, now that I know how it ends, obviously without ruining it, I feel like the ending was kind of a lazy out. I know that a lot of the hardcore fans were like, oh my god! But me, I just saw it as the company taking an opportunity to clear their slate. Without ruining it, essentially it opens up so that they can make any kind of game they want and still say that it's connected to the original subject matter, even if it's puppies juggling sea lions.
I won't play that game.
Well, I'm not saying I wouldn't play the game, but I just thought the ending was just kind of I dare say, almost like a lazy Lost cop-out. So they can make any game they want and still say that it's connected.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I was disappointed, I just was kind of like, you could have done more with that.
Yeah, I just didn't like the fact that you go through this entire game, and just the way it ends, it kind of just nullifies everything.
Yeah, it was one of those things where, you know, they'll make more, but the game ended in a way that they shouldn't make more.
Right.
They should have saved that ending for, like, 5 games from now. Because you know they're going to try and make as many as they can. But that should have been the ultimate ending to everything.
I'm going to have to watch this now.
Yeah, it was big. It was big without ruining it. But, yeah, you know, it wasn't bad, but I think they should have saved it. They should have held off on it. But overall, huge improvement from the originals. You know, obviously, I have to eat some humble pie on that one. So I'll say again, 4 out of 5, just because of the improvements were noted. I had a good time. I wasn't confused. So yeah, 4 out of 5. I'll go 4 out of 5.
All right.
Your turn.
Let's work on Devil May Cry.
Okay.
DMC.
I know absolutely nothing about DMC, so take it away.
All right. But me, I'm a huge fan of Devil May Cry. I have played all of the games. My absolute favorite, of course, is the first one, and I do like the classic style. And at first, I admit I was one of the people who were kind of a naysayer of the game because they completely redid everything, including Dante's look. They essentially turned him from being like that cocky comic book character archetype to just a street punk.
Yeah, I heard this one was kind of, I wouldn't say a reboot, but they kind of hashed everything into a new form.
It is a reboot.
Okay.
Like, they did rework everything. They've made it so that the core of the story is the same. Like, you're this half demon, half angel, and you're known as a Nephilim. And you're basically going on this crusade against this, like, king demon who, like, killed your mother and imprisoned your father, and you're kind of just learning about this secret world that's behind the scenes and how the demons are kind of controlling, you know, the population for their own reasons.
Yeah.
I actually started to like it a lot. The combat system was incredible. What they have it set up is the same, like, standard sword attacks and the combos. But what's really cool is that you get different weapons and abilities, like a heavier one and one that kind of does quick attacks. And you can use those by using the triggers as shift keys. So if you let them go, you can use your sword and just do, like, you know, X, Y, Y, X.
Yeah.
And then you can immediately hit the trigger and switch to your, like, hammer and then pull off heavy attacks and then immediately hold down the other trigger as a shift key and just continue the combo with the quick weapon.
So very fluid combat.
Yeah. Very well done. I like what they did with that.
Cool.
The story was pretty interesting, and they did introduce Dante, his brother Virgil. They team up and just go after this demon, and there's a very interesting twist at the end as well that still kept with the main core of the story. It's still very much just like the old ones, just kind of with a new coat of paint.
Yeah.
And while Dante was kind of like this street punk type person, he still had that familiar kind of like cocky, playful attitude that made Dante like a really enjoyable character to play as. But yeah, I was overall very satisfied with it. Had a decent length, very interesting characters. The design was just very, very interesting. And they kept with some of the similar enemy types as last time. Like, they had marionettes as like one of the prominent enemies that anybody can recognize in the Devil May Cry series.
And from what I heard from fans, it was a welcome. The improvements were very welcome.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And it was still a very visually striking game, and in its own way, it's still very, like, pretty game, very vibrant, even though it was kind of dark.
Yeah, it had its own poetry to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, overall rating?
I would probably give that one a 4 out of 5 as well.
Nice. I feel like we're going to be stuck on that number for a little bit.
Potentially. Like, it's really, really fun, and I definitely had a great time with it, but I just couldn't possibly give it a perfect score.
Yeah. Well, perfect score is a tough one to shell out. I think I may have one, but I'll save it for the end.
Okay.
But this one coming up, I have to shell this out, because first off, out of the gate, everybody, my friends, my family, my girlfriend, and this podcaster group knows that I'm not a big DC guy. This is known. That being said, Injustice, Gods Among Us, awesome. One of the best fighting games I've ever played in my entire life. Like, it was fucking awesome. Great story. Apparently, it was based on an actual comic, which I'm going to read now.
I did not know, actually.
Oh, it is.
No. They wrote a comic...
For the game?
For the game.
It was a prequel tie-in.
Okay, I'll read that.
Kind of like Southland Tales.
Okay, cool. It's... The game itself, like, the story was incredible. Like, I was blown away by how good the story was. The combat was amazing. You know, choosing any of your favorite DC heroes and villains to fight as. The specials, oh my god.
I've seen some of those are brutal.
My favorite special, even though it's not even that brutal, was actually, first off, I love that Lex Luthor, who is my favorite DC villain, even more than the Joker, they put him in the game with his suit, which was like the greatest invention. I love that suit. And his special, almost James Bond villain-esque, is he pegs you with like a laser reading from the sky, and just this blast from his like satellite doom machine hits you so hard that there's like a mushroom cloud in front that you can see from space, and your dude's just laying there like completely dead. Also, the one thing, and this was completely predictable, you know, they had to make the worst and most mocked character in the DC universe, the ultimate badass in this game.
Oh,
Aquaman?
With the Trident of Justice.
No, his special attack is he stabs you with a trident and essentially feeds you to a shark.
Dude, yeah, a shark bites your face off.
Yeah. He floods the arena with water and just fucking stabs you and holds you up, and a shark the size of, like, my house comes by and goes, whomph!
You know why? Aquaman cheats.
He does cheat, but I'll tell you what, that trident, I could reach somebody in Cali and pull them over here. It's fucking ridiculous. But my friends hated me.
I'm a useless character, they said. I have stupid powers, they said. Shark to the face!
Yeah, some developer went, this is an opportunity to give him a well-earned, like, reinvention. So that you can actually go back and go, okay, wow, he's fucking awesome. But yeah, the story was unbelievably good. I played through the whole thing. Couldn't stop. Even Wonder Woman wasn't boring. And that's really something. Yeah. That's something that's not easy to achieve. I actually gave a damn about Wonder Woman for once. But yeah, my favorite thing was just between the two universes, without revealing too much. There's one detail. It's halfway through the plot, so I dare not spoil the ending. But, you know, for those of you who know that, you know, Superman in this universe is evil.
Right.
I love that Hal Jordan joined his side and was a Yellow Lantern. That was just fucking awesome.
Yeah, he was part of the Sinestro Corps. Yep. And you know what's messed up is that if you go into multiplayer mode, you can choose all these different costumes, but his Sinestro Corps costume is not ready for you to just...
No, you have to work for it.
So it's like, but, bummer.
What was it? I loved everything that worked with, and I love the DLC, and I love the different, like, universe changes. But the one thing Firefly fans will be very interested to know is some of the voice cast for that. Hal Jordan just happened to be Adam Baldwin, a.k.a. Jane, from Firefly.
Really?
Yep, and Green Arrow was Alan Tudyk, a.k.a. Wash, from Firefly.
Huh.
Tudyk? Is it Tudyk? I've been told that it was Tudyk, like, three times from people. I always said Tudyk.
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
I've heard Tudyk.
Okay. I'll go with Tudyk then. I guess I was right from the first time. But yeah.
Also, really quickly, Zach, you realize that when you said that Firefly fans would like this, I thought to myself, wait, Firefly is playable in this?
No. I'm mixing up my universes.
No, you're not. No, there's a DC villain called Firefly.
Yikes.
He throws fire and he flies.
Oh, one of the newest DLC characters? Go figure. One of the newest DLC characters? Scorpion.
Oh, hell.
Scorpion.
All right, not surprising.
Wait, as in Mortal Kombat Scorpion?
As in Mortal Kombat Scorpion.
Yeah, it was made by those people.
It was made by the same studio.
Yeah, but it's just, for once, I don't care. I was actually having so much fun with the DC stuff. My rating, story, music, everything was awesome. But at the end of the day, it's still a fighting game, so it's going to get stale. So I'm going 4.5 out of 5. Because at the end of the day, the replay value will always fall.
Yeah.
You beat it. You play some rounds with your friends, and then you get sick of it. It's every fighting game ever, except for, like, old school.
Okay.
But I'll go 4.5 out of 5, because, I mean, it was the only thing that doesn't make it perfect is the fact that it doesn't outlast, it doesn't last much longer after you beat it.
You know the most badass combo, the most badass special move I thought was? Batman's.
He hits you with a car?
He hits you with a car. Oh, he does a backflip over the Batmobile. He, like, presses some shit. He, like, throws some, like,
and balls, he
blows up, and you get... Oh, dude, it's
bumper dusted by the Batmobile.
Yeah.
Few things are more insulting from a superhero. Just... All right, your turn.
Hit and run.
All right, next up I got Dead Space 3.
All right.
I'm a huge fan of the Dead Space.
We know this.
Like, I love horror genres, and I like the Resident Evil games. I like survival horrors. But couple that with sci-fi, and you got, like, something like, you know, Alien or The Thing, you know, all incorporated into, like, you know, video game form. I had a wonderful time with it. I still hold that Dead Space 1 is still the best.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has that scary value, and it really felt like a survival horror. Dead Space 2 kind of brought it into, like, the action space, kind of similar to the way, like, Resident Evil 4 and 5 ended up.
Okay.
It felt a little bit more action-y.
Yeah.
And then Dead Space 3 seemed to take the same token from Dead Space 2 and said this time they added in co-op. Now, honestly, though, that isn't the flaw in the game. The co-op is actually, they did really well with that. Dead Space, one of the core, scary things that they have in it is that you see visions being transmitted by these markers. Now, you get visions in, like, you know, one partner in co-op gets the visions while the other person doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be seeing, like, some freaky images or, like, images of, like, your dead child while, you know, your partner's wondering, like, you know, what the hell? Why are you freaking out? So you're seeing enemies and shooting at enemies while your partner's just confused and, like, you know, dodging your bullets or whatever.
Yeah, essentially.
Like, you know, what's going on? Now, the gameplay is essentially just like Dead Space 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And that is just all very solid. They've done, you know, the camera work, the weapons, all really well. And this time they've incorporated custom weapons where you can take components and build your own weapons off of pieces.
Really?
So, like, you can take, like, the Ripper, which is a saw blade that, you know, hovers out in front of your weapon, and you can use it to cut enemies' limbs off.
Yeah.
And you can actually take that piece and combine it with the sniper rifle, so you can have a close-in chainsaw melee weapon, but also the long-range sniper rifle weapon, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The story itself is very interesting. It actually explains a lot of information about the markers and their origins, and it kind of leads up to what is potentially going to be the big final showdown in the next Dead Space.
So there will be a 4, and it's going to be massive.
Yeah, okay. And it gives you a lot of information, and they set it up so that 4 is just going to be... like, the game, like, that kind of pulls everything together.
Yeah, essentially, like, a big, like, almost like Return of the Jedi kind of everything comes together.
Yeah.
Big moment.
But, yeah, the game overall was really well done. I do enjoy Dead Space, and I definitely just enjoyed this one.
Mm-hmm.
My only problem is that they seem to have, like, lost the survival horror feel and a lot of the horror elements that just made the first game kind of freaky.
Yeah.
You felt alone, and you felt helpless. This time, they kind of give you an arsenal, and as much as I love the weaponsmithing thing, you can essentially just build yourself this death machine of a gun and just rock through just constant waves of enemies, and it just doesn't really have that survival horror feel to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I would definitely give that game a 4, probably 4.5 out of 5.
Okay.
Because it was still thoroughly enjoyable. They do need to go back to the horror roots, but...
Well, if they're set up the fourth game like you say they are, then that probably won't happen.
Yeah, it definitely left you on a bit of a cliffhanger.
Hmm.
Notably, if you download the DLC, though, I did forget to mention that. The original game itself ends a very definitive way, but the new DLC that they released that kind of continues the story, when you thought there was a stopping point there, that's what kind of reveals, like, oh, this is what's going to lead up to Dead Space 4.
Yeah.
So,
DLC is relevant.
I would definitely invest in that piece of DLC content,
okay,
for the story at least.
4.5 out of 5?
Definitely.
Cool. That'll work. My next one, I've got two more because I forgot about Bioshock Infinite when we started. We can hit this one together because I know you've played at least part of it. Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider.
I have to give them a nod. First of all, it may not be Naughty Dog, but it's the closest thing to Uncharted that Xbox 360 players will ever get.
This is true.
And I've thoroughly enjoyed it for that reason. It was great to have a game with that style come out. Like, I couldn't have been more reserved about looking into that game, because I was like, I've never liked Tomb Raider. I mean, I'm not saying they're bad. I personally have
just
never...
Just not your cup of tea.
No, never. and I understand that the character has quality, but like, yeah, it's just not my kind of game. Well, yeah, but
the controls on the first PS1 games, like the first few PS1 games, sucked.
Yeah.
Well, you realize that those were among the first fully 3D adventure games ever.
Yeah, yeah. It still is unplayable for me.
But yeah, the new one was just like a Batman Begins kind of reboot, where you just got everything fresh, everything was new, and it was like even in the first 10 minutes, I was losing it, man. I was so excited. It was just thrilling, adrenaline pumping, like kind of action, the kind of thing you'd get from an Uncharted game.
Swing.
Like it was so damn good. Except hunting, I hate that.
The hunting.
But yeah, I mean, what was your take? How far did you get in it?
Oh, I beat it.
Okay, go ahead, take it away then. Tell me about the story, because I've only played the first, I want to say 25% was all I had time to look into.
Well, first off, I got to say that, like, yes, it's very much like Uncharted, and it's very cool that we've got our own game like that on the Xbox console.
Yeah.
The downside is that any long-term fans of Tomb Raider is definitely might feel a little put out on it, because it seems to be favoring more of the Uncharted, like, combat style and less for, like, the puzzle and platforming that the original Tomb Raiders were.
And, yeah. And raiding tombs.
Yeah.
No tubes are
raiding. That's what I've been telling everybody when I play the game. I love the game, but it seems that there's a lot more raiding than tombs.
Yeah, like they could have gone as far as to not have to call it Tomb Raider. They could have just put Lara Croft in the title, or just called it like Croft or something.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm really hoping that the DLC they put in, they just add more tombs and puzzles. Like they were good. Like the tombs they did stick in were essentially just single rooms with one puzzle.
Yeah.
And when you solved that was essentially the tomb that you raided.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, you can also, like, speaking of Batman, you can also turn on, like, detective mode, and it would point out what the puzzle, you know.
Yeah, it was a little bit more like Assassin's Creed Eagle Vision, where everything goes black and white, and anything of interest highlights in, like, gold.
Okay.
But story, yes. Story does hold true with Tomb Raider, though. It does have the, like, physical, like, historical stuff, like, it explores, like, genuine historical points in time, while also kind of weaving in a little bit of, like, supernatural. This one is about a Japanese queen that was revered as a goddess on an island, like, off the coast.
Yeah.
And it's essentially the Japanese equivalent of the Bermuda Triangle, and that's what they're searching for. So they're going to find this goddess who supposedly had control over storms.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up getting shipwrecked there because of one of these storms.
Because of a storm.
Right. And they come and find a cult made up of people who've been shipwrecked over the years, worshipping this goddess and trying to find the goddess's, like, next incarnation. So they've been, like, any women that wash up on shore, they sacrifice them to the goddess, trying to give her a new body so that they might be able to leave.
Yeah.
So that's their motivation for it. So you essentially just kind of roll through and try and save your friends who've been captured by this cult, because you're one of the few people who was able to escape from their raiding parties.
I'm assuming one of the chief people you have to save is your sister?
No, actually your best friend, who is turns out to be a descendant of this goddess in question.
Interesting.
But there are supernatural elements to it. There's ancient Japanese warriors that are still on the island. And there is some credence to the whole supernatural controlling of the storms kind of thing. And that kind of gets all revealed towards the end when you rescue your friend from the cult.
Yeah. But overall, I mean, I have to give a mad props to the action, to the combat, definitely the thriller aspect. So, I mean, based on what I played, I could easily do 4.5 out of 5.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because it was just a massive improvement for that, for me anyway, for that group of games. Like, that was just so damn fun that I have every intention of purchasing that and playing it the whole way through.
And it's got a pretty good length, too, and a very interesting story, and the environments and visuals are very, very beautiful.
Yeah. It was excellent. All right, now the last one. Technically DLC, but it is definitely a contender for a perfect score for me. Oh, I've played it three times.
I know what you're talking about,
I
love it.
I've played it three times, back to front, 100% completion. For those of you who have been listening since the beginning of the first episode, you will note that my best game of 2012 was by far Far Cry 3. And I don't know if the developers went home and got drunk, stoned, off their ass, or what, but this most recent DLC is a completely standalone game called Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. And it is the best game I've ever played in my entire life. It references, it essentially makes fun of, like, that sci-fi crap that you got in the 1980s. Cheesy music and everything.
Oh, yeah.
But and the game within itself is complete satire. It is absolutely fun as shit. It's fantastic. Like, I absolutely loved it. And it's just the same engine. The only thing that it shares with Far Cry 3 is that it takes place on an island. That's it.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. Like, it's the most fun. And the satire of it, like, the first tutorial, I have no problem revealing this to you. The first tutorial you get in that game is a screen pops up that says, and I quote, "Press A to demonstrate your ability to read." That is fucking hilarious. And that is one of, in the first 10 minutes of that game, 30 tutorials that they throw at you just to be assholes about it.
Yes, even in the protagonist is commenting on the side.
How much he hates
tutorials and how annoying they are.
Fucking tutorials. The one-liners are hysterical.
Oh, absolutely. Keeping in play with the whole, like, 80s action theme.
Yeah, the best line, and I've never heard anything like this before, the best line in that whole movie was the game was, I killed somebody, and he was like, "Send in the medic so I can kill him too." That was, you play as a cyborg soldier known as Rex Power Colt. Rex Power Colt.
That's awesome.
Cyborg commander. And the actor whose name
Michael
Biehn. For those of you who don't know, Kyle Reese in the first Terminator. I always forget his name. He's in Aliens.
Hicks.
And Navy SEALs.
Huh?
He's also in Navy SEALs.
Navy SEALs.
Navy SEALs! And the Abyss. And the Tombstone.
And the Abyss. Can't forget.
He's such a dick in the Abyss.
But he fell into that role perfectly. He was absolutely hysterical.
Deadfall.
But yeah, and let's not even talk about the references in this game. Let's see. Transformers, Star Wars, Star Trek, Terminator, Predator, Aliens, and the fucking most hilarious Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle reference in existence.
Oh, yeah.
In existence. That cannot be debated. That was the funniest fucking thing I've ever encountered in my entire life. That was one of the most hilarious 20 minutes of my life ever lived, was that mission. You know damn well which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, that was
a lot of fun. The plot is engaging. The actual creatures, the blood dragons themselves, God, that was cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic. You're just, the plot couldn't be more simple. You're in the middle of a cyber war on this island with mysterious, they say, radioactively activated fossils that have turned back into dinosaurs. With laser vision. Can't forget laser vision. And their vision's based on movement.
Yes.
Okay, Jurassic Park. I forgot that was referenced.
There you go.
But the Aliens reference was hilarious. The obvious Aliens reference, even the main character goes, "Why does this seem so familiar?" I mean, come on.
Right.
But yeah.
Well, it's familiar because he voiced Aliens Colonial Marines a few months ago.
Oh, yeah. This was the ultimate reclamation for him. He saved himself with this game.
I love
game.
The weapons, too.
Oh, my God. The weapons
the
are great.
The handgun was from RoboCop.
The handgun was from RoboCop.
The shotgun was the...
Terminator 2.
The Galleria in 1991.
Yep, Terminator 2.
What else did we have?
That crazy laser thing, the wrist blade.
Oh, the wrist blade, yeah.
But I think the sniper rifle and the laser rifle were both just done there. But that pistol was RoboCop?
Yeah, it was RoboCop.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the motions that he does when you fire this. How hard did you laugh the first time you reloaded the assault rifle? And he spun the clip through his fingers.
Oh, right.
And every time you pull out the assault rifle, you throw it up in the air, it would do a full spin and come back down.
Or the shotgun shells, where he just kind of like throws the shells in the air and they land it in the gun.
Yeah, just throws them up in the air, you kill somebody, you flip them off.
Well, in Far Cry 3, they had this ability where you can melee a character, and when you melee them, you can turn and face another person and throw a throwing knife at them and kill them.
And in this game...
It's a neon glowing purple ninja shuriken.
And if you hit somebody with it, he goes...
He has stars in his eyes.
I got him seeing stars. But what was your favorite one-liner?
I don't know. It's been a little bit since I touched it, and I can't quite remember. It's just...
Mine is, this little piggy went to the morgue. But yes, overall... And the soundtrack, which I've bought on iTunes, because that's the only place you can get it. What a freaking score that was.
Oh, absolutely.
That game... Ubisoft, please give us a full-length game like that. I will play the shit out of that for days on end. Just give me a full-length game just like that. That was fan-fucking-tastic. And based on the ending, I can assume that there will be more.
I can't say with absolute certainty on this, but I am fairly certain I heard somewhere at some point that they were actually, because they got such positive feedback from it.
They got incredibly high feedback from fans, players, and the press.
Yeah, that they were considering actually making a full game of it out of it.
I really hope they do, because it would be a lost opportunity on their part. But I must say, based on my play and experience, and the fact that even when you're playing the whole game, not just at the beginning. It's got those lines like it's on an 80s television.
Yeah.
Just that whole thing. I got to go 5 out of 5. I can't see one bad thing wrong with that. I really can't.
I honestly would have to agree.
All right, so there's one 5 out of 5. We've gotten that much done. And now you have, if I'm counting correctly, that was 7. So now there's 9 reviews. So that should give you enough to work with for the time being. Hopefully next week we'll finally be having the ultimate throwdown between COD and Battlefield, which has been long since awaited. There's probably going to be a lot of yelling.
Probably.
And I'm trying to get as many people involved as I can, so you know, bring a helmet. All right, well, I think that'll do it for us. I hope that'll keep you guys satisfied for a while anyway. We'll keep an eye on the games. If you have any suggestions, feel free to throw them our way on the website or on our personal Facebook pages. And if we have inspired any of you to make some purchases, castwavestudios.com/Amazon is the way to do it so we can get some money. I'm Zach Patterson.
I'm Major Buff.
And as always, may your dongle remain unsevered.